Opening prayer. Hank Davis. Thanks, Hank. Speaker Brother Skippy Norman. Sermon title, Where is God in Your Life? Scripture is Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Scripture reader, Gary Turnbull. Presiding at the Lord's table, Wiley Edwards and Bob Bowen. Closing prayer, Greg Newton. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for all the blessings of life, and for every opportunity that we have to serve Thee. Father, this morning we do a special prayer for our brother Charlie Hopkins as he undergoes the test. Be with him, Father, that he may endure. We also ask our blessing for our sister Vicki Mena as she undergoes surgery on Tuesday, to be with her, be with the doctors, those who attend to her. May it be a success. And be with us now, Father, this day in this service unto Thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
First song is 504.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its sky's bitter. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know hold my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver mine. There's the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't see to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion is through a flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Before our opening prayer, next song over, 504. This one, let's do 1, 3, and 4.
When peace like a river ascendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, thanking you so much for another day of life. We thank you, Father, just for getting us up out of our bed, Father, and allowing us to come here to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you so much for health, Father. We just thank you so much for being the head of our lives, O Lord. Father, at this time, Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, God, both known and unknown, Lord. Those things that we try to do our best at, Father, but fail, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to guide us. You continue to be the head of our lives. You continue to order our steps, O Lord. Father, we ask that you bless this worship service, Father, that everything that we do today is in spirit and in truth and worthy unto thee. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you continue to bless those that were mentioned today that are sick,
Father, that are afflicted, Father, especially that for our brother Charles Hopkins, Father, that it be thy will, in the name of Jesus, that you bring them back to their appointed health, O Lord. Father, I ask that you continue to bless the leadership of this congregation, Father, that you order their steps, Father, that you continue to guide them in the way that you would have them to go. And Father, we ask that you bless Brother Norman, that the words that you have put on his heart to give us today, Father, will be well those that we can take, Father, and we can keep, Father. And if there's any in our audience today, Father, if these words touch, Father, you will bring them closer to thee. Father, we ask, we know that everything in this world, Father, we're just passing through here, O Lord. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to just, again, just love on us. Keep your ever-loving arms around us. Father, we ask that you just stay with us on this day, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we do pray. Amen.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that stays from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to his name.
Our order of worship service is now the Lord's Supper. Before us, we have two emblems. We have the bread that brings to our memory the body of Christ Jesus that was crucified on the cross at Calvary. And we have the cup as the fruit of the vine that brings to our memory his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We're so grateful and so thankful, Father, for the body of Christ Jesus, the redemption we have in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We thank you, Father, allowing him to go to the cross and die on our behalf. For in his name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, as we take of this the fruit of the vine, let us look back to the cross, the shedding of Christ's blood, that we may all have access to the tree of life. Pray, dear Father, as we do this, that we'll be thinking of Him and the full meaning of the cross. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone was overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please raise your hand and you will be served. We have another commandment, that is to give. The Bible commands us to lay by in store and be prepared to give back to God on the first day of each and every week. We now have the privilege to do so. Let us bow and give thanks. O kind and merciful Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for the good measures of health that you possess, you give to each and every one of us, all of the ways and means, the abilities that we have to provide for ourselves and our families, to reach out and help others. We're grateful and thankful to give back in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is in His name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
song of invitation after the lesson this morning will be 495. 495. And then before the lesson and our scripture reading, let's sing 513. Again, let's do 1, 3, and 4. Stand. If you can easily stand, stand as we sing this song, please.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bow to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior and my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God.
Morning, everybody. Today's scripture lesson is Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. So I'm reading from the New King James Version. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and to our God, and he will have mercy on him, for he will abundantly pardon. Now may we get a word from Brother Skippy, and hopefully some of his words will restate us.
Want to say good morning. Truly God has once again blessed us to be able to assemble ourselves together on this morning. It's good to see those who are here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. And for those who have tuned in to our by way of conference call, we just welcome you here to our service on this morning. Just want to thank Brother Nick for filling in on last week while we was away preaching at Kearney Church of Christ in Kearney, Nebraska. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. wise eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this day, and thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have tuned in on our conference call this morning as well. We pray, Lord, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. At the conclusion of this message, there'll be things we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Where is God in your life? And if God is not in your life, are you seeking him? Because this is what this passage of Scripture is talking about, that we're going to be dealing with in verse 6 and verse 7 of Isaiah 55. So what can we learn? What can you learn from these two verses? Well, in verse number 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The first point that we want to consider this morning is there is a time to seek God. There is a time to seek God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, it says, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's the New King James Version. So you see in this verse is that it says that now is the time that we need to be seeking after God. Well, why is that? Because we cannot afford to wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late. If Jesus was to come back today, here is the question that I suggest to you to ponder on. Is that is, would you be ready if he was to come back today and say, time for you will be no more? And if you are not ready, then now is the time to seek after God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to put him in the center of your life, because we have a duty to seek after God. In Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says in Zephaniah 2 and 3, it says, seek the Lord, all ye humble of the earth, who have carried out his ordinance. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. We have a duty to seek out the Lord. Everyone on this earth has that duty. It's not left up to the preacher. It's not left up to the elders. It's not left up to the deacon. It's not left up to other members. All of us have a responsibility to seek out the Lord. Because why is that? Because the time for seeking is not fixed by our convenience. See, man does not set the time for seeking God. God sets the time. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, well, I can do that later, or I obey God, or I seek God when I get through living it up? Have we heard those things? We do it every day in our lives with everyday things. So somebody say, well, why wouldn't we do that with God? Well, haven't you heard the slogan, why do today what I can do tomorrow? We live by that a lot of times, don't we? Well, I'm going to put off today because I got tomorrow to accomplish it. See, you got to understand, tomorrow is not promised to you. The only time that you have to get it right is today. Seek in God is something that nobody else can do for you. For you must do it on your own. We can't put off until tomorrow, for tomorrow may never come. God sees that we have all things that need fixing in our lives. And he tells us that if you need it to be fixed, now is the time to get it fixed. Now is the time to make it right. Now is the time to seek him today. For today is the day of salvation. And tomorrow may be too late. But then the time for seeking God is fixed by God's invitation. It's fixed by God's invitation. See, the gift he has for you and I is a free gift. And the giver must be allowed to find his own time and way. And if salvation was a matter of purchase, we might expect it to be dependent on us. But understand that it's not something that we purchase. Am I right? Jesus says in John 6 and verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. So we are drawn to God by God. It is set by him at his invitation. His invitation is there in plain sight for all of us to see. His invitation is set in his word. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There are many people who will quote this, but they stop right here. All they say that all you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you're going to be saved. But they miss the other scripture in Mark 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the people wanted to know what to do to be saved. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So there's more to it than just believing. You're going to have to not only believe, not only just got to hear, you got to turn, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and go down in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. And so I can go on and on with scriptures that say what to do to obtain salvation. God's invitation is there. It's there in his word over and over again. God is found in his word. And if we are seeking him, not only do we hear his word, but we need to go to his word. And so the first point that I consider is there is a time to seek after God. And that's in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. But then the second point we see is in verse 7. And that is, in order to seek and find God, then we must prepare ourselves to receive God's pardon. Now look at verse 7. In verse 7 he says, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we got to understand what he is talking about. There are some couple of things that we see here that needs to be clearly recognized. The first thing that we see here is that God's pardon is absolutely free. It's priceless. It's a gift that is based on no condition, won by no payment, and is responsive to no merit in us. It's a free gift. But the second thing is that there are conditions which those who receive the grace are reasonable, are required to be in. So the two things needs to be harmonized. That the gift of pardon is free, is priceless, and yet there are conditions to it, and I think that they can easily be harmonized. See, let me give you an illustration of this. If we were going to give a gift to someone, we would look for a gift that would suit that person. We would be looking to give them something, but we put conditions on what we give them based on what they have done. Okay? Let me help you. My oldest brother, he works on air conditions and appliances, but also he likes to bowl. So if I were to give my brother a gift, I would look for something like a bowling ball. I would look for something like tools that he can use to work on air conditioning. Are you all with me? So why would I give him a bowling ball? Why would I give him tools to use on an air conditioner? Because he is prepared to accept a gift like that. He likes bowling. He works on air conditions. And he's able to use them properly. See, the same goes with God's pardon. It's free. But he looks to give it to those that are prepared to accept it. Y'all with me? So how do we prepare to accept God's pardon? Well, you can find it in verse number 7 of Isaiah 55, because it gives us a threefold form. The first thing is in the first part of Isaiah 55 and verse number 7. Notice what he says in the first part. He says, let the wicked forsake his ways. In other words, there must be the putting away of all wrongdoing. Not some, but all. If we are sincere in asking for a pardon from God, then we must also be sincere in separating ourselves from the sins in our lives. We cannot go on willfully sinning and doing things that we know full well to be wrong in the sight of God and expect that God will pardon us of our sins. See, I want you to just look at this. Take a note here. I didn't say that if we sin, God will not pardon us. But what I said was that if we go on sinning willfully, are y'all with me? So I want you to understand that. Because in Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, is there anybody in here who is perfect? Is there anybody in here who got it all together? All of us have sinned. He didn't say y'all have sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so all of us are sinners, but we must not go on sinning willfully. All right? So we should all know what sin is. We ought to know that. But one thing that James says in James 4:17, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's what James says. So consider what you have to stop doing and consider what you need to do. Look at the second part of Isaiah 55 and verse 7. So understand that the first thing that must be the putting away of all wrongdoing. The second thing is in the B part. Notice what he says. He says now, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts. All right? What that means is there must be a cleansing of thought and heart. All right? You got to put away wrongdoing, but there needs to be a cleansing of thought and heart. The love of sinning must go, and the act of sinning must cease. Let me say that again. The love of sinning must go. The act of sinning must cease. We cannot go on desiring to do what we have done in the past. We can't go on thinking about how fun things we used to do were. Sin is fun. And we like sin, because if we didn't like sin, we wouldn't sin. That makes sense. So how many times has that happened to that people obey Christ, they get baptized, and then they go back to the things they were once doing? It happens a lot. And so because they are not making an effort to do what? Cleanse their thoughts and cleanse their heart. They are not making an effort to stop doing what they did before. And until we have a change of thought, until we have a change of heart, we will not be truly repentant. Because being repentant mean that we turn away from what we once were and turn to God. But then the last thing that we see is in the latter part of verse number 7. And that is, and let him return, all right? And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The third thing that we consider is that there must be a positive turning towards God. Repentance is that positive turning to God. When we sin, we should be repentant of the sins that we have committed. There is a difference, church, between repentance and remorse. I want y'all to get that. There's a difference between repentance and remorse. Repentance draws us toward God
in hope. Remorse draws us from God in despair. Let me help you. If the person has a remorseful attitude, then how are they going to feel when they come to church, and how they're going to feel when they come before God? They are going to feel ashamed. They are going to be embarrassed. Well, why is that? When they do wrong things, especially things that they know other people in the church know about, they don't want to come back to church. Are y'all with me? They will find reason after reason why not to go to church. And then they say, well, next week it won't be so bad. Because maybe they have forgotten. And so guess what? When the next week comes, they don't go because they didn't go the week before. It begins to be a habit. Why? Because they are not repentant. They are just remorseful. And so it will go on and on. And so what you see is they are only feeling remorse for the sin that they have committed. And many people just feel remorse. Why is that? Because they keep on doing the same old thing over and over again. But listen to me. It's not until you truly repent that your life changes. You got to give it over to God, that you draw close to God, that you want to be near to Him instead of running away from Him. So what is the answer? The answer is, let's not be remorseful of our sin and continue to do them. But let's make that positive turn to God. Be repentant of our sins, and we will have hope and faith that we will have eternal life with Jesus Christ. But then the third point that I want to consider today, and this lesson is yours, how should we seek after God? How do we seek after God? That's a good question. In Jeremiah 29, in verse number 13, he says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You got to seek him with all your heart. And these are some other scriptures you can write down, and you can go back and look at Proverbs 8, verse 17. Look at that, Proverbs 8, 17. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15. Hosea 5 and verse 15. Psalms 105, verse 3 and verse 4. It's back there in the bulletin. If you can't write them down, it's there in the bulletin. Psalm 105, verse 3 and 4. So look at those scriptures. And what we need to be able to see is that you should be able to see some ways that you ought to seek God. Seek Him with all your heart. Those who diligently seek me will find me. Earnestly seek me and seek His face continually. And so we got to understand that seeking God is something, not something that we should do halfway. No, it's something that we must put everything into. See God. We cannot neglect it. We must not neglect it. And if we do stop seeking Him, then we may very well lose our eternal salvation. You don't want, at the last day, to stand before God, to hear Him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Prepare for the devil and his angels. That is going to be the last sad words that you're going to be to hear. But He says, today is the day to get it right. Today is the day to seek him while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. So the question comes, where is God in your life? You know where God is in your life, and God knows where you are in his life. And if God is God where he needs to be in your life, you can answer that question too. And so, is he in the center of your life? Because he wants you to come after him. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to make you. But he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He has the free gift. And don't you know it's just waiting on you? It's waiting on you. All you got to do is, if you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, all you got to do is hear his son. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:9-10. Then go down that watery grave. Go down that watery grave of baptism. I said Romans 10:9-10. Then go down that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:30. You receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:10. You receive a crown of life. If you're here, you're a member of this church, you're a member of the Lord's church, where is he in your life? If he's not where he needs to be, today is the day to make him where he needs to be. And that's first place in your life. If you're subject to an invitation, don't put it off, because tomorrow is not promised any man. Come right now, we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. When all made this flow, in heart rejoice and fell its rest, turned all across. Happy day, happy day. When Jesus walked my sins away, he taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus walked my sins away. Oh, happy bond that sealed my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his mouth while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus was my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis of the great transaction done, I am my Lord and is mine. He drew me in. I follow love, charmed to God's best, the voice divine. Happy days, happy days, when Jesus was my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and every joy seen every day. And